with a focus of worship and remembering the depths of God's love for us in the middle. So over to you, Rich. Thanks very much.
Good morning, everyone. It's just so great to be with you all this morning, really enjoying our time together. And I have to say, I was reflecting this morning, just thinking this time is such a highlight of the week to me. I just love being together like this and being able to be together as family, worshipping together, hearing from God together, blessing each other and so much more. This morning, I want to just share a few thoughts with you on where we're up to as a church and where I and the senior leaders are trying to go and lead us all as a family together. So I'm just going to share a few thoughts on that, knowing that I'm going to just give you some highlights and there is much more that could be shared and that you'll be able to access after this meeting. So I want to start by sharing with you a photo of me as a young man. Ah, oh, look at that guy. That is me aged, I think, around 14. 14, there I am. My dad dug that photo out the other day for me. And at 14 years old, that photo was taken whilst I was on a sleep out protest with my family, protesting about the amount of homeless people in Weston-super-Mare. Later that year, I would go on to spend Christmas in a homeless shelter, temporary homeless shelter, with again, with my family overnight, meeting remarkable people and learning the stories of how people can go from so much to so little. You know, 5 years later, that 14-year-old boy was pioneering a new student mission to the homeless here in Exeter with other people. You know, a year after that, that young man was going with his wife-to-be to Manchester to join with the Message Trust and join with people who were pioneering in neighbourhood ministry. Then just a few years later, that family would join with others and move here to Beacon Heath to start new life together and build community with other people. Ending or furthering with the development of the Beacon and all that it has done in the last 5 years. Now, why am I telling you that? Why am I sharing that story this morning? Because I guess I just want to give you a sense of where I'm coming from. I'm giving you an insight that my testimony is that God honors the dreams and visions of those who join in his mission. God can take any one of us, start something small, plant a seed in us, and see it grow as we focus on him, are obedient on him, and say, yes, I'm prepared to join with you in your work here on earth. Now, that is completely consistent with what the Bible teaches us from start to finish. From the first instructions to Adam and Eve to steward the earth with God, in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, restoration of humanity and the institution of the church, to the picture of the beautiful city at the end of Revelation and a united people worshipping God and stewarding the earth with him. I could spend hours and I would enjoy and invite me round in your garden for a cup of tea and I will gladly talk through all that biblical story. But may I take a moment to recommend Cheryl's talk that she gave not so long ago on the biblical narrative of Shalom. And that just gives you this insight of the whole picture of the Bible and what it talks us about, the way God works and our part in his plan. So I'm now telling you there is this biblical narrative, there is this personal testimony. So what is that telling you about the future of our church? Well, I think this quote goes somewhere to what's in my mind. It's a quote by a guy called Alan Hirsch, and he says this: by the power of the Spirit, it, that is the church, let me just hide this in case that's in your way, the church, Iska Church, exists to represent him as Jesus, to participate in his saving work, to conform its life to him, live out every aspect of his message, and extend his kingdom by whatever means are appropriate. What an exciting calling that is to the church. What an invitation that we have. You know, in 2019, I and the senior leaders were commissioned afresh by you all. We were joined by Mark Mumford and Aled Griffith, amongst others. And Aled, as he spoke to us, presented us with three chairs. Perhaps you remember that. Three chairs were placed before us. He said the first chair stood for our charismatic tradition. This is our DNA. What's part of us? The first part is that we are a charismatic church. The second is that we're a pastoral church. But he then placed a third church and said this church is also missional. And that is what part of what I and the senior leaders would be bringing in more of for this church family. It doesn't mean that the charismatic or the pastoral are going anywhere. They're just as much a part of who we are, but we are bringing in that missional purpose and extending it further. So I believe that the church, we, despite being flawed people, despite being people who get things wrong, nonetheless, God has instituted that the church, I believe, is the most powerful agency for wholeness and transformation on earth. The Jesus-focused, discipleship-practicing, God-loving, Holy Spirit-empowered church. That's who we are and what we're called to. And so let me just tell you, as I think about this decade, there's a crazy thing. I can barely think to next week sometimes, let alone the next 10 years. But nonetheless, when I think of the next decade and the church I want to be a part of, then I want to be a part of a church. I want to see a church that is family to all of us and many others who've had their lives turned around by Jesus. I want to be part of a church that is a driving force for good in our city and local communities. And I want to be part of a church where every member and our friends on the fringes are empowered to use their gifts and calling to serve God and others. And I'm inviting you to pursue this dream with me, to help make that dream a reality, and to look back with me in 2030 and say, yes, that's what we're still seeing in Iska Church today. We're going to take bread and wine in just a moment. Steve and Jane are going to be leading us in that. This is an amazing, important act to remember and spiritually declare that we belong to Jesus. It's remembering grace and unearned love, but it's also remembering an invitation to join in the life and mission of Jesus. And I pray as we take this bread and wine, we may be feeling the stirring of God saying, not only you belong with me, you're mine. I love you. But also saying, would you like to join in my work? Would you like to join in what I'm doing on earth at the moment? I pray you'd hear that as we take the...
His wounds, his hands, his feet, my Saviour on that cursed tree.
Now I'm just going to talk in a little more detail with some more of where we think the church might be headed over the next few months, as well as some bigger picture things too. Now, I can only share with you highlights now, and there is much more I could say. So after this morning's meeting, early afternoon, an email is going to go to you all, and that will contain a few links, one of which is to a kind of online information space that you can either just look at one part of or look at all of, and that will give you a lot more information than I can possibly share now. So please look out for that email and take a look over the next few days. So the thing is, we have vision and aspiration for our church, but the critical thing is that it can only be realized once each one of us plays our part in it. And the call of God is on us all to join in with God's work and his life in our church family. Now, one of the ways we can understand our gift and contribution to the church is by looking at the fivefold ministries that you see in the book of Ephesians. Maybe you'd like to just take a look at this, and you'll see that in Ephesians 4, you see this description of different types of people that are given to the church. Some are apostolic, some are prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral teacher. Likelihood is no one person is just one area, but rather we all carry flavors of these aspects to greater and lesser degrees. These are exciting things to look at because we can identify with some characteristics and say, yeah, that's how God makes me. I'm really good at that, or I really see the world that way, or yeah, I like doing that kind of thing to bless other people. And that's really exciting, isn't it? And I want to say, we as leaders, and I want to help you in identifying with your gifting and identifying with your calling and helping you understand what it is that God has made you to be like, that he likes to use to bless others and glorify him. But maybe before even getting into that detail, you just want to dream a bit. You know, I'm in a kind of dreaming mood. It's interesting, Mary sharing that word there. I absolutely want to take time at the moment and create space for God to talk to me about what the future holds and what he wants to do in my life. So, you know, I'm going to be taking a bit of time to dream big. And I've actually signed up to a workshop that you two can join in with. It's starting in the middle of April. It's led by a guy called Bob Goff. Now, Bob is a remarkable storyteller, but also international ministry, who has developed some of the most remarkable projects in some of the most difficult places in the world. And he's going to be sharing some stories and doing a course to help people dream ideas. So I'm going to be taking a look at that. You watch the training whenever you like, and then I'm going to be available online on a Friday afternoon and a Friday evening. And you can join me for an hour. And if you've watched the videos, you can join me and have a chat with me and say, what do you make of that then, Rich? What do you think is in there? What might be stirring in you as a result of hearing his stories and testimony from others? So we're taking some steps, but we're also going to make a few changes in the way the church does things and the way we approach a couple of things as well. We are trying to gear up every aspect of the way the church does things to be a servant to and equip you. And that even comes down to things like our IT system. And I won't go into detail because that's very geeky and boring. But nonetheless, we are changing the way we even handle our IT so that it's more available to you and gives you the resources you need to get on with the things God is calling you to. But we're also making changes to the way we approach our staffing. One bit of sad, but also life-giving news is that this year we will be celebrating Jane as she at last chooses to slow down life and take a bit more active enjoyment with the family, and no doubt particularly with baby Ella Grace. And I'm sure having more time with Stephen too. But nonetheless, we'll be then reducing her role this year by the latest of the 31st of December, she informs us. And so it's going to be remarkable that after 23 years of service, Jane will be stepping down from the office. But that's coinciding with a time when we're changing a little bit of approach to how we do things as staff. One is that when Jane steps down, we're going to be recruiting somebody new, but we want a slightly different approach. We want somebody who can major on communication. We're going to be looking for a storyteller, somebody who can tell our story to the world around us, can help us communicate better with each other, and can also help us celebrate what God is doing. That might be one of us here in this call who senses God saying, I would love to help this church communicate better. Julie is also going to be taking a slight shift in her role as well, and is going to be more available to our missional communities and other ministries, trying to provide more hands-on assistance and support to get things off the ground and running well. And lastly, we're going to have a second go at recruiting a youth work leader to bring extra vision and leadership to our outreach, but also help us transition the church to be more adaptable to new young people joining the church. So we've got kind of staffing changes, we've got system changes, we've also got, of course, the funds of Cornerstone sale to reinvest too. And Mary's word absolutely coincides with what we see at the moment, which is that we are not going to rush. And as we listened to God at the end of January and into February, a key theme of those prophetic words was patience. There were warnings that a church building must not define us, hold us back, or distract us. But rather, whatever we invest in is something that will resource, support, and enhance what God is doing already through us. So we as leaders are taking our time with that investment and are going to allow other things to grow and emerge first. So again, if you look at those prophetic words that came to us earlier in the year, another key part alongside the patience was realizing what is already before us, but perhaps is not so easily seen. You'll see quite a few words about connections to be realized, things underground, relationships forming that haven't been fully understood. And so actually we want to press in and explore that further. We're going to be encouraging gatherings of 4 to 40 more than we are whole church gatherings in the next few months, just to give time to quality of relationship with each other. As you know, it's extremely difficult to manage and organize any gathering at the moment, and whole church gatherings for more than 100 people presents particular logistical challenges. So our emphasis is going to be on those smaller groupings and doing all we can to help you meet safely in smaller groups, either in discipleship groups or missional communities or other groupings. But we also want to take up what's before us already in ministry and activity with other people. So there are already things going on that you might be wanting to join in with, whether it's Wendy and the team serving lonely and isolated people each week in Pinhoe, or similarly supporting the Hot Food Project in the Beacon. But there's also going to be new things that are just beginning to retry again. So the Tadpoles team are going to try and restart in serving families. The youth work is looking to start a new homework club at the Beacon with St. James School and the Rotary Club. And we are also looking at the Beacon and maybe the community cafe returning and other activity coming back there that serves the community. These things are not to get hyped up about, stressed about, but they're explorations to see what God is already doing around us. So I just invite you to explore those things, whether it's meeting with other people and helping small gatherings happening, whether it's joining in with some of the existing activities and helping them to keep on serving people, or whether it's helping with some activities that are really trying to get back off the ground and get going again to bless our city. Or indeed, as I say, perhaps it's time to dream big and see something new explored. Maybe there's something that's stirring in you that you think, actually, I've always wanted to try this or that. Maybe now's the time. Maybe there's a conversation to be had. So as we draw to a close, I'd like to remind you of 3 prophetic words. So say you're going to get a link at the early afternoon that's going to can take you to information, including all the prophetic, the themes that we think as leaders that we're seeing before us, an action plan of more detailed action of what we're trying to achieve as a church, as well as a few questions answered that you may have as well. find it all in that link. But let's just end by listening to a few things that God said. So I'm going to pray. And I just invite you to connect with what God's saying. Lord, I want to thank you that you have spoken to this church and you've called us to a future. I thank you that much has been said about who we are and how we can glorify you and serve your purposes on earth. I thank you, Lord, for what you're stirring in myself and the leaders and in each one of us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would be guiding us to how we can join in with your mission. Now, as I share just three themes, I just pray you'd help us to be hearing your voice. The first was the theme of, I want your heart. So, Lord, I just commit each one of us and pray that first and foremost, like Mary has shared, we will be people who love you and give you our best, make time for you, and allow you to do the all-important soul work in our lives, that we are wholly and lovingly connected to you. Give you the word of build back better. As fresh opportunities arise, as we seek to restore a few things, we would be returning with some things or starting new things that are stronger than they were before, that renewal will be taking place as we seek to grow more as your people. And lastly, I just talk through a word from Martina Pegler and just allow these words to sink in. There was a need for a change of vehicle. And the other thing that struck me was that because of the unpredictability of it and not knowing what will hit you around the corner or what kind of obstacle might be, I had a sense God was saying that as you take that left turn, you'll be surprised that skills will be needed and the kind of skills your guys have. And there was a sense of taking that risk of the left turn, which is seemingly initially seemed not your shape or something you would think would be not right for you. But it brings out the different skills of people within the church family. You'll be surprised about. They'll have an important role to play because they will have exactly the skill which maybe before wasn't needed, but now is. And so lastly, I just pray, Lord, that we would have confidence in who we are and how you've made us. And that we would be at peace about the gifts you've given us and how we might use them to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rich, for bringing that to us, for focusing our attention.